This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Some 10 lines from the top of the page. Ask the Gemara, how ines va mefate va mitzi shemra de mamrinu litni, ines mefate and mitzi shemra, apart from the knas involved, there is also momen involved, and surely therefore those cases should be included in the brisa of Rabbi Yoshaya. Why does he omit them? Answers the Gemara, manavshach. Inezek, what do you consider that additional payment apart from the knas of those cases? If you consider it as nezek, tanule, itzar, tanule, iboshes, tanule, all these cases are included. If it's pegam that you've damaged the value of the person, that is nezek, and that's the ma'islach lememus. So what would you say if it's none of those? You'll have to say it's knasa loikamayri. And we've already said that Rabbi Yoshaya does not include cases of knasa. So either way, if it's momin, it's included by nezek and bushes and so on. And if it's knas, he's not dealing with knas. So let him then. According to Rashi's definition, it's not knas. So what's the havamina that it's knas?
Yeah.
The answer should, the Gemara should just answer, it's nezek and it's included. Look at Rashi. Only the 50 kesef is knas. Aval yesh bo pegam sheshov achshav pochus midimi koro. There's still pegam which you have to pay because she's worth less than she was before. Kedor mabiksuvis uvoishes, and you've got to pay her boishes, and all these are the mamoinahu. This is mamoinahu. This is not knas.
So that's my problem. The boishes, yeah.
Yeah. Hachigas in a manavshach. Mishum mai itzrich le lemitne. I mishum tzar tanule. Rashi doesn't go on to your kasha. No, of knas there isn't. There is, because he pays more than the damage. Kol ha-mashalim yosel ha-mashah hizik, gun kefil. That's knas.
But ganav and gazlin, that's where you worry about. That's what ganav and gazlin is.
Then it's momen, then it's not knas.
Yes.
So what are you asking?
Then why is it mentioned?
All we're saying is that Rabbi Yoshaya doesn't include knas.
But Rabbi Yoshaya includes the ganav and gazlin.
Because there's momen in there.
The
moment Yeah. But this is what Hugh's asking is right. What's the happening at this moment? That it's knas. How can I want to say monoshach? If it's this, it's gone. We've got it. If it's not, it's. Sorry? But he doesn't say that. And he says, he should say it. If it's something else, he doesn't say that. He just says.
He's saying, isn't this an element of the moment, and it's not that it's a different moment? He doesn't,
say that. He says, Ma'islach lameima knaso. It's not a moment, it's knas. If it's none of those, what could it possibly be? Then it could only be knas. If it's not any of those moments, then it could only be knas. And knas is not what he talks about. Ask you, what's the havamina that it's knas? Or to say that it's included in the knas, I don't know. It's a good hero, I don't know.
So I'm trying to also by using the next piece of Gemara.
Yeah.
You say that hezek she'ena neikara hezek, einu shmei hezek. So then in that case, this boish is in pagam, it's not neikara. I don't know if you can say such a thing. And therefore that's why it's knas. Because it's einu shmei hezek.
But then why in other cases is it called knas? Is it called nezek? Why does Rabbi Yoshaya include it in other cases? Not in the case of Mitzvah Shem Rastam. Then Pagam and Boishis is always Eino Nika.
Yes.
So it shouldn't be there altogether. It shouldn't be in Rabbi Shai altogether. They should leave it out altogether. Because B'knas Alu Kamayri. So we see that it's not, that it's considered Hezek Shenika. That's an interesting order all on its own. Why is Boshus Hezek Nika? I don't know the answer to that. We need to look at that. Hametame v'hamedameya v'hamenasech d'mamoinu litni gutz. But then what about metame, medameya, menasech? That's all mamoinu. That should surely be included. Answers the Gemara, manavshach, I hezek sheinu nikar shmei hezek. If you're going to regard hezek sheinu nikar as hezek, or tangalei nezek, then it's included in the general category of nezek in Rabbi Yoshaya. I hezek sheinu nikar lo shmei hezek, havele kanaso. If Hezek Sheinu Nikar is not Hezek, then we must consider it as Knas. Uvi Knas Eloi Kamayri. And the Rav Hashaya is not talking about Knas. Leima Kasova Rabbi Chiyah Hezek Sheinu Nikar Eloi Shmei Hezek. Then we must assume that Rabbi Chiyah holds that Hezek Sheinu Nikar is not Hezek. The Ishmei Hezek Otanele. Because if it is Nezek, then why should he include Metameah and Menaseich and Medameah when he's already had the case of Nezek? There must be some difference. So he must hold that it's not Nezek and that this is a Knas. What's wrong with the Havamina? Oh, the Pnei Yeshua that we learned proved that from the fact that Rabbi Chiyah says these are all obvious means it's Doraisa, it can't be Midrabonin. The Pnei Yeshua Taka asks that and answers that you've got to say it's a Knas Doraisa. But that's what we want to say.
Trying to find a place for
it. Yeah, you'll have to say, he says it's a doichak, but you have to say that what the Gemara means is that the Torah cancels you. It's a doraisa, you have to pay, but not als nezek, als knas.
And maybe that's how the Tosfos holds, if you said that the Tosfos
holds. Yes, nothing, yes, yes, so yes, then you can learn the Tosfos that way. That they're both doraisa, even though it's a knas, it's still doraisa. Yeah. Says Rashi, medamea ma'arif truma im chulin shel chaveiro. He mixes the truma with the chulin of his friend. The hashto mazbin lu bezoil lufi shein yochel loichlo el hakoyin, and now he has to sell it cheaper because only a koyin can eat it. There's a smaller market for it. Menasech shenisech yain chaveiro la'avayda zoro. He was menasech his friend's wine for avayda zoro v'osru bahano, and he made it osru bahano hoil v'ovid be'maise begufe de yain, since he did a maise with the actual wine. This is an example of Hezek Sheinu Nikar because it cannot be recognized in the Peiris because the Peiris are no less than they were. Leima kasova Rabbi Chiyah lushme Hezek umishum diknasu tani. And he mentions it because it's knas. Deloy habi bichlal ovis to Rabbi Yoshaya. And it's not included in the ovis of Rabbi Yoshaya. That's why he mentions it here, in addition to the regular case of Nezek. Says the Gemara, Tana Hezekiah de Minker, but Tana Hezekiah de Lo Minker. No, we can say that Rabbi Chiyah holds that Hezek Sheinu Nikar Shmei Hezek, but he gives two examples of Nezek de Minker and Nezek de Lo Minker, which is consistent with Rabbi Chiyah's Shita of giving different types of Nezek, even if the consequences are the same. Bishlomo the Tana Didan Tana Minyon. I understand why the Tana of our Mishnah says Arbo, because there are others who count many more, and he's talking about four specific cases. Limutid Rabbi Yoshaya, he comes to say four to exclude the cases of Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabbi Yoshaya Tana Minyone, and Rabbi Yoshaya gives a number 13, Limutid Rabbi Chiyah, to exclude the 24 of Rabbi Chiyah. Elo Minyana Rabbi Chiyah Limutid Mai, but why does Rabbi Chiyah say 24? Let him just list them. The implication of saying 24 is, I am referring to 24 of the Ovis Malocha. Not to all 20, not that they are all 24 in total. We can count. We don't need him to give us the number. If he gives us the number, it means that he is emphasizing that there are others outside of these 24 with which he's not dealing. Which are they? Answers the Gemara, Limutei Moiser Mefagel. The cases that he is excluding are Moiser and Mefagel. Moiser is reporting a person to the government in a way that makes him have to pay money, lose money. Umefagel and Pigul. Pigul is when one brings a korban with a machshova psula, with an inadmissible thought. Now, in korbanos, the halachas of the korban treat time and place very similarly, which physicists always find very fascinating. there is a time limit on the korban and there is a place limit on the korban. The korban must be eaten that day or the following night. Or in the case of shlomim, that day or the following night or the next day. It's either one night, 2 days, or one day and one night. And if it's eaten outside, and it's an issue to eat it outside of that time. Similarly, a korban may not be eaten out of its place. If it's kodshim kadoshim, it has to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. If it's kodshim kalim, it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, but not outside of the borders of Yerushalayim. If one shechts it with the intention of eating it either outside of its time zone or its place zone, then it's pigul. That's what pigul means. So if a kohen shechts, I bring a korban, and the kohen shechts it, thinking to himself, this will be eaten in Tel Aviv, he passes the korban. What do I have to do then? I have to bring another korban. Do I have a claim against the kohen? He damaged me. That's a case of nezikin, which Rabbi Yoshaya does not include. The litni asks the Gemara, let it be, why doesn't he include them? Bishlomo mefagil, bekodshim loy kemairi. Mefagil, I can say, is not dealing with kodshim. Ela Moshe, my time of the loytani, but why not include Moshe? Answers the Gemara, shiny Moshe the diburi of a diburi loy kemairi. Moshe is a case of dibur, and the Tana Rabbi Yoshaya is not talking about nezikin by mouth, he's talking about nezikin by action. Asks the Gemara, Moshe Shemra the diburu hu ketani, but Moshe Shemra is diburi. And yet he includes it. So why shouldn't he include Moshe? Answer the Gemara, Dibur di isbe Moshe hu. That's a Dibur which entails a Moshe as well. That Dibur would not have been able to take place had there not been a Moshe Be'ila. Only with a Moshe Be'ila, and according to some, the fact that there has to be a Haskora of Edim, there has to be a hiring of Edim, so there has to be Moshe involved as well. The Dibur alone is not sufficient. What about Edim Zomimin? That's a case of Dibur without any Maise attached. Uktani, and it's included. Answers the Gemara, Hosam Apagav Deles Be Maise. Although, in actuality, there's no Maise. Rachmona Kari Maise, as we discussed last time, the Torah calls it an action. Dichti Vasisim Loikashir Zomim Lasos Lachiv. And you shall do to him as he planned Lasos to do to his brother. And the whole principle of Edim Zomimin is we treat it as if it was done. We make it into a Maise Nezik. Up to there, says Rashi. Ela minyona de Rabbi Chiya limute mai deloy machshiv bahadayu. What does he not include among them? Moshe malshin, a person who talks to the government. Shemoshe momen chaveru loivit kechovim. Not after the government. A person who is Moshe, his friend's money to a goy. Umefagel, kohen sheshochat korbonu shel Yisrael chatos l'shum shlomim. Rashi gives a strange case. He says this mefagel is talking not about the normal case of pigul, which is the machshava of a kohen to shecht outside of the time or place zone, which passes the korban. But he gives the case of a kohen who had a chatos, a korban chatos to shecht for the Yisrael, and when he did it, he had in mind that it's shlomim. He had in mind that it wasn't chatos, he thought it was a shlomim while he shechted it. Now, in most cases of korbonus, if a kohen shechts it for the wrong korban, then the korban is not possible. The korban can be brought, but the bailim has not fulfilled his obligation. So let's say, I take upon myself to bring a korban shlomim. And I bring the shlomim, and he shechts it with the intention that it should be something else, a korban. What could it be? Not a chatas or an oshum, not a korban pesach. He brings it for a korban toido. He has in mind, or vice versa. I bring it for korban toido, and he has stam shlomim in mind. So the korban can be brought for whatever he intends. That's what he brought it with the intention of it being a korban shlomim instead of a korban toida. So it should be, it's brought as a korban shlomim. But I took upon myself to bring a korban toida, which I haven't brought yet. I brought a shlomim, so I have to bring another one. Oh, so that's a case of damages. But when chatos is involved, it's different. When a chatos, if it's a korban chatos, and the kohen has in mind that it should be Shlomim, then the Korban is possible as well. Or vice versa. If it's Shlomim and he has in mind that it should be a Korban Chatos, then it's possible as well. So there's two things very strange about this Rashi. Number one, that he doesn't explain Pigul the simple way. A Kohen had intention to shecht it chutz lizmano, chutz limkoymo, and thereby pasul the Korban, necessitating me to bring another Korban. That would be the simple way to learn it. Rashi doesn't say that. That's difficulty number one. Rashi rather gives a case of where the Kohen had in mind another Korban. It was a shechtin sheloi lishmo. Now, if he brings that, bring that already, now there's a further problem. Good, so bring a case that doesn't involve chatos. Because chatos, you've got the added complication that not only does the Bailim have to bring another Korban, but you've got the added complication that the Korban is possible. Why Dafke bring a case that has the two elements? Bring a case of Toda and Shlomim, where there's only the issue of the Bailim having to bring another Korban. Why does Rashi specify a chatos? To throw a spanner into the... And that is, why doesn't he rather give the case, if he's bringing chatos already, let him rather bring shlomim, for that he brought shlomim and he brought it as a chatos. Because there's a difference which way around it is. If it's a chatos l'shem shlomim, the Mishnah says in Zvochim, that if you bring it for a higher korban, then the korban is kosher. If you bring it for a lower korban, the korban is posel. Shlomim is kodshim kalim. Shlomim can be eaten in Yerushalayim. Chatos is kodshim kodshe kedoshim. It can only be eaten in Izkok or kodshim chamurim. That can only be eaten in the Beis Hamikdash itself. If Rashi wants to use the chatos already, then let him use it the other way around. Had the Kohen brought a Shlomim with the thought that it was a Chatos, is he elevating it or lowering it? He's elevating it, so the Korban would be kosher. But the Bailim has not brought his Shlomim yet, so he would have to bring another Shlomim. That would be a simple case for Rashi. Instead, Rashi says, no, he's brought a Chatos l'shem Shlomim, demoting the Korban, passeling the Korban, and making the Bailim have to bring a new one. But all that we're concerned with is the Bailim bringing a new one. So why confuse us with this case? Those are the difficulties of this Rashi. Very, very difficult Rashi. Why introduce that element? Just simply reverse it. Shlomim from the Shem Chatos, and you chayev because the Bailim has. If the reason is because the Bailim has to bring another one, take Shlomim from the Shem Chatos, which is a perfect example of that particular damage. This way, maybe part of the damage is that he passed the Korban. Who knows whether if he wouldn't have passed the Korban, the same would apply or not. It's an obscure case. Whereas he could have given the easy case of Shlomim L'Shem Chatos.
Isn't there an aspect that there any circumstances that the Korban would be kosher? If the Korban could be used, even though it wasn't used for what it was brought
right.
for, that there's some benefit to the person who brought it.
Yeah, but Rashi says that the reason for the chiyuv is that he has to bring another one. That's the damage. Tzorich acher. If that's the damage, then why not give the case of the shlomim l'shem chatos? Also tzorich acher. The Rashi seems to be teaching us a yesod in kodshim, which we don't understand. Now this Rashi, one could do two things with this Rashi. One could say we're not learning Kodshim and let's go on. I've opted not to do that. I want to deal with this Rashi. Firstly, because the it's so glaring. Whatever Rashi is telling us here is so glaring. There's something so obviously wrong that it needs analysis. Secondly, all the Rishonim and Achronim ask it. The Shita Mekubetzes brings it. All the Rishonim ask it. All the Achronim ask it. It's just a classical piece of Lomdus that one has to... One can't just go over. And thirdly, it's an ideal opportunity to become familiar with some concepts in Kodshim. Let's just go further in Rashi. Before we analyze this, we'll just finish the Rashi on our piece. V'lisne le Rabbi Chiya hai Moise, let Rabbi Chiya take learn Moise. Moitzi shemra diburu diiz be Moise be'ilo. Rashi says be'ilo. Tosfos, you'll notice, says... Tiburu this by Maisa the Bixuvis Befek Mara Omar Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov Loi Neem Rudvori Malalu Elo Kishibo V'Rabbi Yehuda Islay Hosom Ad Sheyizkur Edim. But in both cases there's a Maisa, either Yizkur Edim or Be'ile. Rashi goes Dachke Be'ile, he's going on the day of on the first day of Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov. Up till there. Now, there are many different achronim that deal with this kasha on Rashi, and each take different approaches. I've opted to learn with you the analysis of Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, and I've done that for a few reasons. Firstly, I find that the most brilliant and the deepest, and the one which is most consistent with our whole approach to our whole approach to learning altogether. But Pnei Yeshua deals with it and goes backwards and forwards and then changes gears and he battles with it. And others, lots of achronim deal with it. But the real deep and clear-cutting analysis, I'm sure the Briskers have got Torah on it, but I haven't seen it. I'm sure that there's somewhere or other the Briskers have got Torah on it, which I'm sure would be very good to learn. If I find it still, then we'll do it as well. But Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein is just too beautiful for words. The background to Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, we did a little piece, a few lines of his, if you remember, on the Rambam a couple of weeks ago. Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein learnt in Valozhin, and in Valozhin, as a young man, he was known for his bekiyus. That was his big thing. He used to learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos by heart. That was his limud. And when he was very young, he was probably well under 20, he was known already to know the whole of Shas, Gemara Rashi, and Tosfos by heart with the whole of Shulchan Aruch. That gives you some idea how long ago was this. He was born in 1866, so we're talking about 100 years ago. Not a long time ago. That was the level, and he was one of the Talmidim in Valozhin. He was considered one of the bright ones, but that was nothing unique. But that was what he was known for his Bekiyus. And one of the reasons that I want to learn this with Moshe Mordechai Epstein is to show you how Bekiyus is used. What Bekiyus means. So here we're talking about the Litvish world's archetype of the Boki. That's who the Moshe Mordechai Epstein was. Then he married a woman whose mother was a businesswoman, and so he was able to continue learning. And his wife's sister married Rabbi Zalman. Rabbi Zalman, so we also learned recently. So we're getting to know the whole Mishpocha there. So Rabbi Zalman now was known for the opposite. Rabbi Zalman used to focus on the point. He wasn't a big boki. He didn't work with Bekiyus on that scale. He was, in our terms, he was certainly a big boki. But on our scale, Rabbi Zalman wasn't the boki. He was the amken. He was very. He used to focus down on the point and analyze down to the depths of the point. As we saw, in fact, in the piece of Rabbi Zalman, which we learned. Now, the two brothers-in-law became chavrusa because the mother-in-law was a common mother-in-law who was supporting the two of them. And so Rabbi Zalman, with his depth, and Rabbi Moshe Mordechai Epstein, with his hekev, became chavrusas. Can you imagine what a chavrusa that was? And they became gedolei Yisrael during that time. They sat and learned together with nothing to worry about. Then an interesting thing happened. His mother, the mother-in-law, lost her money. And they had to go into business, the two of them, which would have meant they went to start running the shop, which would probably have meant the loss to the Torah world of those two. Simultaneously with that, and without being able to know it, the Alter von Slabodka, Reb Nosson Tzvi, contacted them and asked them both to come and give shiurim in Slabodka. So they were able to support their families. In those days, you couldn't apply for a job in a yeshiva. You just used to languish in some little village until somebody noticed you. And even then, if you weren't a son-in-law, it was very difficult. And neither Rabbi Zalman nor Moshe Mordechai were sons-in-law. And it was min hashamayim that Reb Noson Tzvi had noticed them. And it was exactly at that time that he took them into Slabodka. He had founded Slabodka meanwhile, and he took them in to give shiurim in Slabodka. Now Rav Moshe Mordechai had become an amken as well. Now he had become taka and ilu. He had all that hekef of the whole of Shas, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos by heart, and learning ba'amkus together with Rabbi Zalman. Now he has both sides. So you can imagine what an ilu he is now.
And he became very attracted to Rav Nosson Tzvi, and he became very involved in the Musa movement. And he was instrumental in the introduction of a Musa Seder in Slabodka Yeshiva, which later on caused the split in Slabodka. There was a revolution in Slabodka because of the introduction of the Musa Seder. And Rav Nosson Tzvi left Slabodka. Rav Nosson Tzvi, although he was the founder of Slabodka, left Slabodka and took those who wanted to follow the Musa system with him, among them Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, to establish Yeshivas Knesset Yisrael, named after Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, also in Slabodka. And the amazing thing is that Rav Nosson Tzvi carried on supporting the other yeshiva too, the rebel yeshiva as well, giving money, paying the boys, although they'd rebelled against him. And it was a terribly bitter time in Rav Nosson Tzvi's life. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik had gone to Slotsk. And you remember from some of the stories I guess we told you there, he had a terrible time in Slotsk. And they eventually he wanted to start a yeshiva in Slotsk. And he asked Rav Nosson Tzvi to send him 10 Talmidim. And the head of the 10 Talmidim, the head of the Chabura that Rav Nosson Tzvi elected, was Rabbi Zalman. So the pair broke up at this point. Rabbi Zalman went to Slotsk with Rabbi Yoshe Ben, and Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein was left alone in Slabodka. And he became the Rosh Yeshiva. He was a young man, he was probably in his early 30s at that time. He became the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka with Rav Nosson Tzvi as the Mashgiach, as the Menahal Ruchnik. Can you imagine what a yeshiva that was? And there he gave his shiurim. What's important to know also was that he was very much involved with Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, I'm told that in Chadera today, in the municipal buildings of Chadera, there's a picture on the wall of the three people who founded Chadera, and one of them was Moshe Mordechai Epstein. He went over as a young man and bought the property on which Chadera is today. He planned to make it into a frum. He planned to make a Bnei Brak out of it. It didn't work out that way. But there's pictures still up there. There's one and the three. There were three yeshiva bochim or young people who established the settlement of Chadera. And later on, he in fact came to Eretz Yisrael and established Yeshivas Chevron. When the Gedolim decided that part of Slabodka should go to Eretz Yisrael and should establish themselves in Eretz Yisrael, he headed the group. And he came to Chevron and started Yeshivas Chevron, which was the offshoot of Yeshivas Slabodka. That was Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. So now let's learn this inside. The Levush Mordechai, right. Okay, so this is the first page. Moshe Mordechai Epstein said that. Lose track of the main thing. So I've selected sections that we're going to do out of this, enough sections for you to be able to get his approach and to get his answer without going through all his proofs. But you'll get a very clear idea of how he tackles the Rashi. So there's actually, you'll notice that you're actually missing a page, which doesn't matter because there's nothing on that page that we're going to learn. So we start now at the beginning. This is Levush Mordechai, the Madura Tinyona. There are two on Bovakama, there are two sections to the Levush. There's Madura Kamen, there's Madura Tinyona. This is the Madura Tinyona, Simen Hei. He always gives a short summary at the beginning of the Simen of what he's going to cover, which is very useful. Let's start right at go right into it. Daf Hei Mefagel Kosov Rashi Zal Kohen Sheshochat Korbonu Shel Yisrael Chatos L'Shem Shlomim De'en HaKorban Oile L'Choyvas Ba'alo V'Tzorich Acher Ad Kan L'Shoyne. Uchvat tamohu al zeh, and everybody's already expressed their amazement at this Rashi. Daha b'chol hashas kaimelan, because throughout the shas we establish, the mefagel hu b'mechashev le'echol chutz lizmanoi. The normal case of pigul is when one has the machshova at the time of the korban to eat it outside of its allotted time. V'amai pirish Rashi shechshochat chatos l'shem shlomin. And why does Rashi here explain that he shechted a chatos l'shem shlomin? Even though the Taki in Menachos there is such a concept of pigul being thinking that it's shlomim when it's really a chatos, They want to explain a case of pigul b'shoigeg. How can there be pigul b'shoigeg? You thought it was shlomim. Otherwise, if the kohen knew it was a chatos and he planned to eat it the next day, that's not b'shoigeg. A kohen knows the dinim of a korban chatos. So the only way it could be a shoigeg is if he thought it was shlomim and planned to eat it the next day. That's why the Gemara in Menachos gives the case of pigul being thinking it being a chatos and thinking it's a shlomim. Aval hocha b'gemara d'loy mayri b'shoigeg, but here we're not talking about shoigeg. Lama l'rashi l'farish d'loy ka'apirish b'chol ha'shas. Why should Rashi explain differently to the perish throughout shas? The mefagel u shechishiv lechel chutz lizmanoi, that the definition of mefagel is a thought of eating it outside of its allotted time. That's his kasha. Vani really. And it appears to me as follows. The hinei lichayra kosher. This is tamak kasha on the principle. Now this is typical of Moshe Mordechai. An analysis of the principle, yeah? What's the difference? Why is the korban? Why is the kohen chayev in the case of mefagel? Just generally, the act of mefagel, of a bad machshove, of an inadmissible machshove, thus passeling the korban one way or another. Why is he chayev? Ho b'gemara gitin daf nun gimel isa. In Gemara Gittin, there is the following case. Have you got your Gemara Gittin photo stats? That daf nun gimel. Better to look at it inside if you've got it. Those of you who haven't got it can follow it in Reb Moshe Mordechai where he quotes. Nun gimel amud aleph. Towards the bottom of the page, Massiv Rabbi Elozer. About 8 lines from the bottom of the page. Massiv Rabbi Elozer. Rabbi Elozer asked, Ho oise melocho b'mei chatos of the paros chatos. If a person performs a melocho with pora aduma water or with the pora aduma herself, thereby passeling the water or the pora aduma. Potur midinei odom v'chayiv midinei shemayim. He's potur midinei odom, chayiv midinei shemayim. You can imagine what a lot of money you can cause a person to lose. A person's finally got a pora aduma, which he can now sell for millions, and he just does a bit of work with it, that's all. Does a malocha with it. V'i amris hezek she'ena nikir shmei hezek, and if hezek she'ena nikir is shmei hezek, Bedinei Odom, Nami L'chayev, let him be Chayev Bedinei Odom as well. What's the whole p'tur? Why is he potter Bedinei Odom? Because it's Hezek Sheina Nika. But if you hold that Hezek Sheina Nika is Shmei Hezek, why should he be potter? Who Moisiv Lo, who Mefarekla? He asked the kash and he answers. Poro Sheikh Niso Lerovko Amenas Shetinak V'tidosh. He takes a poro and leads it, the poro aduma, and leads it into the barn, with the intention that it should do two things in the barn. It should suck from its mother, this calf, this pora aduma, should be able to suck and feed. The tidushin should also be able to thresh. Because in the barn is the mother and threshing is going on. Says Rashi. Mei chatos, the third fat line of Rashi, the pora aduma, the chen pora atzmo, the water of the pora aduma and the pora itself, nifsolim b'melocha, become posol b'melocha. Now she goes on to the limud, which we don't need to learn. Potu midine odom, further down, l'shalim, he doesn't have to pay. B'chayev b'dine shemayim puronus, he'll have to suffer. L'shalim l'rishoyim, which the Ribbono Shel Olam pays to rishoyim, shenizkavin l'hafsi des Yisrael. He's a rosha, because he deliberately caused damage to a Yisrael. Lerovko, lemokrim asifas habehemus v'kishuron. That's a place where the behemus are gathered together and they're tied. Kemoik egle marbek. Kadesh tinakis imo, so that she should be able to suck from her mother. V'todush bitvua, and thresh the grain. imashar with the other animals there. The tashlumim leke amaisi yodov, because you can't make him pay for the action. The omar letoivo ichnastiyo shetinak, because he says the action of putting her in the barn was in order for her to eat. So my action itself, my action per se, was not in any way, that didn't puzzle her. What puzzles it? My secondary intention, which was that she should also thresh there. And this is a case of groma. So the only thing that attaches it to me is the fact that I caused it, so because I caused it, that's groma. And my machshove da machshove lo mechayvinen li. The psul machmas machshove hu. This is a case of psul machmas machshove. What puzzles the animal? My intention that she should thresh. That's what puzzles the animal. But since on my intention you can't be mechayev mimomen, not because it's hezek she'ena nika, because it's machshove. So there's groma and machshove. You can't on an intention you can't be mechayev. I didn't do a maise nezek. The maise was putting her into the barn. That maise was not nezek. That was for her own good. That I had a machshove nezek, I don't have to pay for my machshoves. That's the Rashi. Now let's get back to Rav Moshe Mordechai. V'yinei lichayra koshe ech mechayev mefagel ho begmoro gittin daf nun gimel isa. Matziv rabbi lozo oyse melocha b'mei chatus v'parach chatus potem b'dine odom v'chayev b'dine shemayim. V'i amri sezuk shene niko shme ezek b'dine odom nami lichayev v'u moisiv lo v'u mefarek lo. Porush ich nisa lerovko amena shetinuk v'tidoish v'chosum. Rashi zal tashlumin leka amai se yodo do amal otoi v'ich mastiyo shetinak. Ufsul aloi havi elo machmas machshavtoi. Why is the animal possible? Because he had the machshova that the animal should work. Shniskavin af shetodush, because he had the intention that the animal should also thresh. Ugroma ben izokin potur, and groma ben izokin is potur da machshove, lo mechayvin en lei, di psula machmas machshove hu. This is a psula machmas machshove, and on machshove there is no chiyuv ad kan loshun rashi. Lefi ze koshe, eich mechayvin en bemefagel. So why should a kohen ever be chayv in mefagel? Ho al maise ashchite I efshal lechayve, because the act of shchita was not an act of nezek. You brought the animal to the kohen to ask him to shecht. So the shchita is not an act of nezek. What's wrong? V'rak ala machshove. The kohen had a bad machshove. V'im kein o avi psul machshove bi'alma. That's a psul machshove. That's not a psul in maise. V'im mechayvin en b'mefagel. And therefore there should be no chiyuv in the case of mefagel at all. Why is mefagel counted as one of the avnezikin when it's a psul machshove? It's damaged by machshove, and damaged by machshove there should be no chiyuv for. V'hinei ha-Rashbo begitin tirutz b'shem tos v'zal. The Rashbo in Gitin answers as follows. The shani hosu, that there it's different. The b'sho'o she'mefagel oisim maise she'shoichit. Because at the instant of pigul, he is performing an action. Shchita. So it's shchita with a psul. But there is an action. In other words, if he would have the thought without doing the shchita, that wouldn't affect the korban. The isur is to shecht with a machsheves pigul. And that detracts from the maise shchita, so his shchita is not a proper shchita. Aval hocho eino isur maise. But in the case of putting the pora adume into the barn, there he's not doing a maise nezek at all. The maise is not a maise nezek. Putting it into the barn, there's nothing wrong with that. There's only a machshova. For a machshova alone, there can be no chiyuv nezikin. So the Rashbo is mechalek between a machshova which passels the maise, and between a machshova which is unattached to a maise altogether. Ach odeno teirut harashbo eno muvo. But the answer of the Rashbo is not understood. You see, most people would stop there already. This is what Moshe Mordechai. But the Rashbo isn't understood. The Hinei Yesh La'ayin, because one should analyze as follows. Look at this fine analysis. Hod Omra HaToyro Sheim Chishiv Lechol Chutz Lizman Nitzal HaKorban. This halacha, which the Torah gives us, that if one has the machshova of eating outside of the time zone, the korban becomes possible. Mahu hadover hapoisa. What is the thing which causes the psul? Im haperush, on the one hand, does it mean the omra haTorah that the Torah says to us? The im bisha'as machashova psula, shoichet. That if during the moment of a posel machshava, you perform an act of avodah such as shchita, or zoyrek, or sprinkling the blood, as hashchita or hazrika poiselis, then the shchita or the zrika passels the animal. In other words, your machshava makes the action posel, and the action, and a posel action on the korban makes the korban posel, just as if you would shecht with a knife which is not in order, or you would shecht in a way which is not in order. The shchita is posel, and the male of the animal can't be used. So, just as you need a sharp knife, in other words, is this a condition in the avoida? The avoida has to be with the correct machshov. And if it's an incorrect machshov, it's like using an incorrect implement. But what lands are passeling the animal? Not the machshov. The machshov was the lack of fulfillment of a condition of shchita. And what passels the animal? Improper shchita passels the animal. Boy, or maybe not. The omra atoira, the imbisha shchita is rika choshev machshov psulo. Maybe no. Maybe the shchita is a complete shchita. There's no requirement that shchita needs a machshova. Shchita needs a sharp knife, and it must be done quickly without shehiyah, and it must be done lightly without hadroso. These are the halachas of shchita. There's no halacha in shchita that there must be machshova. So what passels? As a machshova poselis. The machshova directly affects the animal. As a separate halacha, it's got nothing to do with the shchita. It's just that if while shechting your machshova was wrong, then your machshova passels the animal. Okay? Very important. What's going to be the difference? What's the nafkamina? Whether we can use the Rashbo's answer or not. The Rashbo says that in Pigul, there's a Maise Shchita. What the Moshe Mordechai is analyzing now is that Maise Shchita, does it really play a part in the Pigul? Is that what passels, or is it the Mashtova which passels? Hinei Rambam Kosev Beferik Yud Milchus Psulei Amagdoshim Aloch HaAlevzah. And this is the lotion of the Rambam. Look at the Rambam carefully. Kol hamachashiv machashovo she'eno nechoino bekodshim. Anybody who thinks a thought which is incorrect in Hilchas Kodshim, hareze oiver beloisase. He's already oiver aloisase. Sharehu oimer, because it says, lo yechashiv, you must not think, mipi hashmu alomdu shebichlal din ze, included in this halacha we taught in Mesoris, shelo yapsid hakodshim b'machshova, that you should not destroy kodshim with your thought. It's an amazing thing in kodshim. The kodshim is a very exciting limud altogether, and the concept that you can destroy something with your mind. Actually, destruction, that's what you're doing. You're destroying a korban. It's like a magical laser beam, and things destroyed. With the power of your mind, you can actually destroy the korban. And there's an issue to do so. Sharei doime lemeitul mum bekodshim. That's like throwing a mum onto a kodshim. That's like breaking an animal's leg, which is an issue all on its own. You're passeling the kodshim. So just as by damaging the animal, you're destroying the kodshim, so with the mind damaging the concept. That's what it is. In kodshim, the concepts become real. That's what's exciting about kodshim. In the rest of Shas and Zikin, we're dealing with physical things which have concepts at their basis. In Kodshim, the whole thing is concept. The whole thing is concept. And the concept is as real as the object, even more real. The animal is just a part of it all. The korban is the concept. And just as you can destroy the korban by damaging the animal, you can destroy the korban by damaging the machshol. And it's an issue. The afal pikein ein loike. Nevertheless, there's no malchus. She'ein ha-machshova maiseh. Because the machshova, which causes the damage, is not a maise. That's not an action. Ad kan loshen Rambam. Ve'im neima do'omra atoiru she'im bish'ash she'chishev machshova she'ena nochoino. As hazrika o hashchita poiseles. If we're going to learn the first way, that the halacha is that if while shechting or sprinkling you have a bad machshova, then the shechita passes the animal. Im kein areze maise. And what does the Rambam mean it's without a maise? Shepoisel ha-kodshim b'shchitosoy b'zrikosoy. What passes the kodshim? The shchita passes the kodshim, not the machshove. The machshove damages the shchita, disqualifies the shchita, and the disqualified shchita damages the kodshim. So why is that called a lavshein b'maise? V'akochach de'ein ha-maise poiseles. So you must conclude from this Rambam that it is not the maise which passes, elo ha-machshove. It's the machshove which does the passeling. The Omra Atoiro, the Torah says, the Imchishev Machshovo She'ena Nechoino B'Shar She'oved if a person thinks an improper thought at the time of Avodah, as HaMachshova Poiseles, then the Machshova directly destroys the Korban. It's just the condition. When does the Machshova destroy the Korban? When you're busy doing an Avodah, then there's the channel between you and the Korban. If you're not doing an Avodah, your Machshova doesn't affect the Korban, it doesn't reach the Korban. If you're doing the Avodah, that action of the Avodah, whether it's the Shechita or the Zrika, is the channel between you and the Korban, and your Machshova can pass along that channel and can destroy the Korban. But it's not that the Shechita destroys the Korban. The Shechita is merely the channel between your mind and the Korban that you're operating on. In that case, umay chilukim also amayse koidim. What difference does it make, Lagabi, our discussion, if the maise was done before or afterwards? Like in the case of Ichnisa Lerovko, where you put her into the barn, and there's nothing really osur about putting her into the barn, that you're doing for her own good. Afterwards, you've got the machshova, so we say that's no good, because the machshova is only a machshova. So what's the difference in shechita? So you're doing it simultaneously, it's at the same time, but so what? There's no connection between the two. Al kol ponim ha-machshova poiseles. What is doing the damage? The machshova is doing the damage. Vavi rak psul machshova ba'alme. That's his kasha on the Rashbo. Isn't that incredible? So I suppose the Rashbo is chelik with the Rambam, the Pashtus. But according to the Rambam, the Reb Moshe Mordechai has an amazing kasha. How can pigul be a chiyuv nezikin if we have a principle that what does the damage is the machshova, as we see from the Rambam, not the Maaseh Shechita, and we have a principle from the Gemara in Gittin of the Oseh Melocha the Mechatos by taking it into the Rovko, is that's not considered a Maaseh, that's only machshova. In that case, why is Pigul any better? This is Kasha. V'hinei ro'isi b'pnei Yeshua shetiretz. Pnei Yeshua answers this. Bnei Yeshua doesn't stand by this answer. The Bnei Yeshua goes backwards and forwards. He departs from this answer for other reasons. But the Moshe Mordechai nevertheless tackles him. K'moshe kotzav haRamban b'dinei de garmi. The Ramban has a famous thesis on dinei de garmi. Garmi is a little bit less indirect than gromo. There's gromo and there's garmi. And there's a lot of discussion as to what exactly the definition is of where the borderline is between garmi and gromo. And the Ramban says there, among other things, "Kivan de guf hashchita havi maise biyodayim." Since the fact is that shchita is a maise biyodayim, "Vekivan sheshochto shaloi kohegin," and since he shechted it incorrectly, "Havale keilu katle biyodayim," it's as if he killed the animal. He's performed an action on it which is shaloi kefi halacha. He shechted with the wrong machshove, and shechting with the wrong machshove is like killing the animal. That's what you did. What did you didn't shecht the animal? You killed him. For the case, what happens to the shochet? You take an animal to the shochet, a good shochet, and the shochet makes a mess of the shechita. He messes it up as he shechts. He's chayev. He's got to pay you for the loss of your animal. The chayev afilu lemandam hezek sheino nika lishme hezek. Ayetz hezek sheino nika. Vafilu kilkelo b'shehiyo b'droso. Even if he just did it by shehir, that while he was shechting, he stopped. You know, you move the knife forwards and backwards, and if you stop in between, even for a brief moment, the animal's treif. So that's hezek sheino nika. The animal's still there. He hasn't taken anything away from the animal. The mass of the animal remains unaltered. Or bedrosa, he presses too hard on the animal, and he's shechting by pressure rather than by movement. That also puzzles the animal, but it's hezek sheino nika. Nevertheless, you see from there that that's called Hezek Shenikar. Why, explains the Ramban, or explains the Pnei Yeshua, the Yesod of the Ramban? Because Shechita is a Maise on the animal. Hezek Shenikar does not mean, according to the Pnei Yeshua, damage which afterwards cannot be perceived. Hezek Shenikar means damage performed without physical action on the object. Bidros Adkan Loshon HaPnei Yeshua. V'lo yevanti dvorim, says Rav Moshe Mordechai, I don't understand the Pnei Yeshua. I can accept that in the case of the Shechet. I take my animal to the Shechet and he messes it up with Shiyo Bedrosa. I understand it. Why? In Kain Yir is a din Hezek Nika. That should be Hezek Nika. Why? And there's no comparison. The Hosom Ashchitu, he Harigo. Because what do I say to myself afterwards? Did the Sheikhet shech my animal? Answer, no, he didn't. He slaughtered my animal. He killed my animal. He didn't shech it. Because there are halachas of shechting, just as if he would have taken out a gun and shot the animal. I can't say, I shechted it. Hezek Sheina Nika. Sorry, I didn't do shechita. I killed him the other way. That's not Hezek Sheina Nika. I brought it to you to shecht, and you killed my animal. That's nezek. What is the nezek? The death of my animal is the nezek. Not that you made him tref. The fact that you killed him is the nezek. And to shecht an animal with shehi or drosa means you didn't shecht him, you killed him. Beineno shechita, that's not shechita. Aval hochel, ha-shechito hi shechito ma'alye. But in the case of bringing the kohen where he had a mashova poiseles, the shechita was a good shechita. You can, the animal's kosher. So you can't say, I killed your animal. I didn't, I shechted your animal. And the meat is here. Rakapsu mishum mashova. The only thing which damages it is my machshove in kenen kan chiyuv al maise. So you can't connect that to the maise shechita. That's how he tackles the Pnei Yoshua. So we left with our difficulty of how can machshove passel a, how can you be chayev nezikin for a machshove that's poiseles. Let's go a little further. There's another case in the Gemara, I don't know where this Gemara is, of a person who has a vineyard alongside a wheat field of his friend. And the fence falls down. And what that does is, I imagine it's a case where the fence belongs to the owner of the wheat field. And when the fence falls down, if the vineyard and the wheat field are close to each other, there's a problem of kilayim. The hachiyuv l'shalem, and the owner of the fence has to pay, hu mishum shenisiyayish milagoydro, is because, the Gemara says there apparently, that he has no intention of rebuilding it. If as soon as he learned that it fell down, he would plan immediately to rebuild it, then there wouldn't be a chiyuv. But once he gives up the idea of rebuilding it, then that giving up the idea creates the chiyuv. In that case, what is it? Why should he be chayev? What causes the psul? What damages the kerim? It's not the falling of the fence that damages the kerim. It's the intention not to rebuild that damages the kerim. In that case, his damage is being caused by machshova. Why should he be chayev? Achein bechidushenu lo bavabasra bi'arnu, that we were mevayer, says Reb Moshe Mordechai in bavabasra, dechamoy de odo mechuyuv ha-maise shiloi, keinu mechuyuv ha-machshova shiloi. That a person is obligated for the consequences of his actions in the same way, of his thoughts, in the same way is obligated for the consequences of his actions. Imagine, for example, that with mind over matter, I could look at your motor car and give it an eye in horror, and 2 minutes later it blows up. Imagine one had such a power. So, Chesuk Shena Niker, there was no nice shechita, there was nothing. No, you would be chayev. That's the consequence of your action, you would be chayev. It's an important chidush. Achein ze dafke, but there's a proviso. Im ha-machshova po'elis. That's provided the thought had physical manifestation. I thought and your car blew up. With the power of my mind, I'm able to destroy your motor car. Then I'm chayv. Aval im ein ha-machshova po'elis dover. But if the thought does not have any physical manifestation of damage, rak dinu, but it's a halocha of the Torah. Shim choshov as osur ha-dover sha-toiro esatu. That if I had such a thought, then the Torah makes it osur. You know, like the Lubavitchers have this thing that if you look at, if a guy looks at wine, then it passes the wine. So what will happen if, maybe if it's even if a non-Lubavitcher, I don't know if it's only a guy. And if somebody else, so somebody, let's assume that there was such a din that even if a non-Lubavitcher looked at the wine, because we can't get into chiyuvim of a guy, it's a different complication. So I come along and I look at the wine with the intention of making it yai nesach. Says that Moshe Mordechai would not be chayav. Because my machshova does nothing to the wine. My machshova does that, and that creates a halacha that you can't use it. But it's the halacha which passes it, it's not the machshova. So if my mind blows your motor car up, then I'm chayav. But if my mind creates the conditions for the application of a halacha which makes your car unusable, then I'm not chayav for. As ilu are you al yedei maisa ya gamkin potter, because then even if it was by maisa it would have been potter. Uveporos chatos harei beloy ritzoino gamkin avi melocha. In the case of Poros Chatos, whether he wanted it or not, the fact is there was melocha. Ve'ein retzoino poel shal yedei ze yizeh melocha. His intention in introducing the animal into the barn, his intention didn't create any physical manifestation. The melocha is separate. That's a real thing which happened, not as a result of his intention. Rak she'omra ha-toiro. It's only that the Torah said, im retzoino hu az ha-melocha iseris. If he had rotzoin, then the melocha passes the animal. That's how it works. So if there was no intent, then the melocha doesn't passel the animal. But if there was intent, then the melocha passes the animal. So if he put the animal into the barn only with the intention that the animal should drink, then the animal wouldn't become possel. Once he has the intention that the animal should work, the animal becomes possel. As a result of what? As a result of the halacha of the Torah. It's not his machshava which destroys the animal. The machshava gives rise to a halacha which in turn passes the animal. V'imkein ena machshava isse maise beguf ha'isur. And in that case, the machshava is not performing a maise in the guf ha'isur. The ha'toiro oisarto. Because it's the Torah that asks it, not the machshava. Aval b'mechitzas ha'kerem, but in the case of the vineyard, ha'toiro omro, but before you go further, how would you say it is in the case of the vineyard? Is that like the paras chatos, or is that like the blown up motor car? Oh, so let's look how he puts it. You're absolutely right. What does the Torah say? Wheat and wine and vineyards mustn't be grown together. Why? Umaim and vineyards mustn't be grown together. Wheat and vineyards mustn't be grown together. Umahu kerim. What is the definition of a kerim? Hamokum shenatuim bo gefonim. That's a place where vines grow. The shayach le kerim and belongs to a kerim. The time the dalad amis shebekerim neesorim azroim mishum daloch lomoshim misinai dalad amis delahadi kerim hu kerim. And the reason that this applies for four amos alongside the kerim is because that's halacha l'moshe misinai, that the four amos adjoining the nearest vine are considered halachically kerim. That's still kerim. Uchebefurish b'rashi eruv in zavtadi beis im kain bezeh shenisyaish milagoidro. What happens when he says I won't rebuild the fence? Hu oise es hadalad amos lekerim. He is making the four amos of the wheat field kerim. That's what he's doing. And in that kerim, wheat is growing. That's what he's done. He's created a new physical boundary lines. He's changed the boundary lines as if he moved the fence. That's what he's done. Im kein machshavtoi polo b'ha isur p'ulo mamoshis. So his thought has now created a physical effect. Shal yedei machshavtoi nase amokun kerim. By his thought, he has created a kerim. It's an incredible concept in halacha. That just as by putting the fence there physically, you would create a kerim. So if you would move the fence, that would become kerim. So that's what his mind has done. By giving up the idea of rebuilding the fence, he has made, because of the halacha l'moshe misinai, the four amos adjoining the nearest vine is now kerim. And in that four amos, his friend has got wheat. Achin beforos chatos loy po'ala machshova b'ham locha. But in the case of paros chatos, his mind had nothing to do with the melocha. Rak ha'toiro oseres im choshev. The Torah says it's also if you had such a thought. And that's only psul machshov. So the Moshe Mordechai has been mechadish two kinds of psul machshov. A psul machshov which triggers off a halacha of the Torah, which in effect causes the damage, and a psul machshov which has a physical consequence, which then invokes the halacha of the Torah, causing the damage. So let's imagine, what's the case of pigul shu choshev lechol chutz lizmanai? So now the shochet is shechting. And his intention while shechting is to eat it outside the time. V'loi chal hadin le'echol chutz lizmanu. And that doesn't help that machshove. That doesn't allow him to eat it chutz lizmanu. It has no effect whatever, no physical effect whatever. Loi polo machshav toi p'ulo mamoshis. So that thought of the korban, of the kohen, although it's the thought which does the pasaling, not the shechita, but that thought has no physical manifestation. It's the Torah that says, "She'im choishev lechol chutz lizmanoi as ha'toiro oseres." If the kohen thought to eat it outside of its time, then the Torah asks the korban. Im keno avi posul machshov v'amay yishalim b'mefaydel. Then ein achinami. That's not a case for tashlumim of pigul. If we'll say that Hezek Shenanika is an Einan Hezek and Pigul is a Knas, then you can say anything you want, and the Chachomim could have constructed their Knas any way they wanted. But if we're going to look at this as Nezek, not as Knas, then come Knosos to Rabbonin. This is not a matter of Knosos to Rabbonin. So why should you then be Chayiv in the case of Pigul? That's why Rashi has to come on and say, in this case, the case of Pigul is not that he shechted with the intention that it shouldn't be eaten out of its time, but that he shechted with the intention that it should be the wrong korban. He had in mind Shlomim when it was really a chatas. Now, of course, what's the next question? No, apart from that's still one away. What does it help us? It's still the same case. But it's still the case that the Kohen has a wrong machshava. The Torah says such a machshava is possible. What has Reb Moshe Mordechai achieved? He's made a chiluk in two kinds of machshava, and he's put pigul into the category of a machshava which has no physical manifestation. But that hasn't yet explained why Rashi's kind of pigul, of a machshava shiloi lishmo, he hasn't yet explained why that's better. He's explained that it's different. But why that's better, he hasn't yet explained. That's in the next piece, which we'll do on Thursday evening in the session.